This episode is sponsored by Jacobson Real Estate Company. Are you ready to find your dream home? Or maybe you're thinking about selling and want the best deal possible? Well, look no further. At Jacobson Real Estate Company, we make buying or selling your home smooth, stress-free, and exciting. With 50-plus years of experience and a deep knowledge of the Winona, Minnesota area market, we specialize in turning your real estate goals into reality. Whether it's finding that perfect neighborhood, negotiating top dollar for your property, or answering all of your questions along the way, we're here for you. Plus, with our personalized approach, you're not just a client, you're family. So why wait? Let Jacobson Real Estate Company open the door to your future. Call us today at 507-313-2716 or visit our website at jacobsonrealestatecompany.com. Because your next chapter starts here. Buy, sell, invest. Jacobson Real Estate Company. Welcome to this week's edition of Brews and Crews. I am your host, Chris Jacobson. And today we have a couple. You may recognize one of them, Dave, on the left side there, because he's been on once. But his wife, Danielle, is joining him today. And we have a topic that probably does not get discussed much, if at all, really, and it's something you guys both just went through, which is a miscarriage of a baby. And very nice of you guys to come in, join me, and open up about this.
Yeah.
But you also brought us a cooler full of drinks.
You did.
So what do we got, Dave?
Yeah, thanks for having us, having me again. Thanks for giving Danielle a platform to speak on this topic.
Absolutely.
So one of the things Danielle does for her many jobs is she sometimes travels. So she was on a trip the first half of this week, and they went to the Rhinelander Brewery in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, and there's a bunch of stuff there, and she asked me if I wanted her to bring some stuff back. So, we have an assortment.
Obviously, we want stuff. Just bring the cooler up. All right. Just stick it right here. Yeah, Dave brought a cooler with us, so we're going to have drinks. It says drinks at the happy...
Upside down. Upside down for you guys, but drinks.
So you tell me what we're going to start off with. I'm an IPA fan, so if you got an IPA in there.
Imagine that. It's almost like we know you.
Oh, perfect.
Thirsty Miner American IPA.
Perfect.
Nice bright orange can.
Bright orange. I can't miss it. All right. So, yeah, Indian Pale Ale, 6.8%. Rhinelander, where's that by? What's, like, the nearest town?
Good question.
Is it near Green Bay at all?
No.
Is it near Appleton, Stevens Point?
Like, we were up by, it was like Rhinelander, Eagle River, I think, and Pelican Lake.
Okay.
It was about three and a half, almost 4 hours from here, from home. So it's up there. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So. And you have one too, Dave? Perfect. IPA well. Guy.
And I have Bubbler.
And you have Bubbler. Perfect. Stay awake for the episode.
I need some caffeine.
Into the...
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
ASMR. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Should I do my nails that I don't have on the...
Oh, yeah. Click them.
ASMR podcast today. Let's see what this is all about here. This is... Oh, yeah. Working up for a powerful thirst. I was working up for a powerful thirst.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good.
It's really smooth, actually.
Not too, yeah, exactly. It's not too heavy.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, thank where you, was the trip for? Like, what are you doing for work?
So we... One of our... we do... campground management, like association management. And so we do for the Wisconsin Association of Campground Owners. And so every September and October, we do a fall tour. And so we go to member campgrounds kind of in one area. And then we usually have kind of like a social part of it. And so the brewery was that social event that
it's
we did.
A beer
this
tour,
time.
It sounds like.
Yeah. So there was drinks had, and yeah, everybody had fun. So
that's okay. Yeah. And Dave, what were you doing? You were gone overnight?
I was gone Monday through Wednesday. Yeah. We have like a board meeting to kick it off, and then we have 2 days of the touring. So yeah.
So then what are you doing, Dave? Just bored at home?
I'm a solo daddy. So this week we did Monday.
Gymnastics.
Yeah. Monday was gymnastics, and then swimming was on Tuesday. And we didn't have anything.
And Wednesday, I came home.
Until yeah, and it's not gymnastics or swimming for me. It's for Harper.
Perfect. I thought you were
tumbling. I know how to swim. I do not do any kind of gymnastics.
Doesn't look good in a Leo. Sorry.
No.
Well, you know, when we wrestled, that was kind of like gymnastics.
That's true.
Trunk, sure, yeah. That's about as close as I get to gymnastics.
Well, I remember one of the guys.
Not that you don't look good in a Leo. It's just probably not the sparkles and all of that.
We have not tried Leos.
Oh, well, she said not like you don't look good. I'm like, you've already done this.
Well, hopefully she's
I mean,
just
the short shorts from wrestling.
I thought we were role playing or something.
Sorry,
here.
No.
I mean, you never know. We might have somewhere to go with this. Who knows?
Well, and for those who are unaware, you actually have a daughter right now.
Yes.
And so this what we're going to talk about today is now the opposite end of that, which is not exactly the most exciting thing to go through. But before that, I think you guys should tell your love story first. Dave likes to share it because I was there. Because
Chris was part of it.
I was heavily involved because I was very, I just kind of was biased, I think is all
that
it was.
He was the pusher that. Right. That pushed him to me. Yeah,
so there was it Gladiolus Days in St. Mm-hmm. Charles? So Chris and I were playing in a softball tournament, and I had been talking to some other girl. And it was actually...
There was other girls?
Oh my, girls.
Clutch my pearls. Oh. And so I was, I'd been talking to this other girl and was supposed to go... I think this is the Saturday, I would imagine. Yeah,
yeah, it was.
I was supposed to go meet her after the day of softball events was over. And just kind of, I think it was after like our first game or something, she all of a sudden was just like, you're not coming.
This girl's going to watch this and be like, oh, that was me. Great.
I hope so. This would be great.
If your audience has grown to that, to like stalker, not even exes. Cause
stalker,
she never made it.
Okay. Right. Well, I hope she's listening. I don't know what her name was. I don't remember.
Everybody's listening. But.
Can you share the name? First name?
Do you remember?
I don't remember. And I was there.
No.
She didn't make it long enough.
She lived in La Crosse.
Perfect. I'm growing to La Crosse, though. People in La Crosse have heard this.
Okay. Well, if you're out there, thanks for going a little crazy.
but that's exactly what it is. She's just like, y'all, you're not coming. And I'm like, it's like, if I say I'm going to do something, barring some disaster or something, I'm going to do it. And
yeah.
Like, that's what I told her. Like, unless something crazy happens, like we're playing softball, I could get hurt maybe, but like, no, I'm coming.
Yeah.
And this, went back and forth. And I think we were after another game and we had already like eaten lunch at Subway, I think. And that's when mm-hmm. Steph kind of came into the story and we were sitting out in my car between games. And like, I was telling you about it. You're like, well, let me see that damn phone. Aren't you talking to some other girl? I was like, well, yeah, here, go ahead. And you're swiping through the Plenty of Fish profile on Danielle, which is where this other girl is also acquainted from or whatever.
So you guys met on Plenty of Fish too?
We did, yeah.
Same with Steph and I. So Plenty of Fish, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's at least two fish.
Sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. We can make love happen.
I guess all four of us are fish. But.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me look through her profile. And you're like, well... This girl's got a gym. She's cool. Go talk to her. All right, sure. Why not? And they, told the other girl, yeah, I'm not coming, and went to meet Danielle that night. And
we were pretty much together ever since.
Inseparable. And, there's the getting deeper into it a little bit. We met at one of her aunt's bars. Multiple of her family members own bars. And, so we met there, and we're talking for a little while. And, this first night I'm meeting this girl, just talking, small talk stuff, and her birthday comes up. And when she says the date, I stop dead in my track. I can only imagine what I looked like.
I don't really remember.
I think I was trying
it
to
was
hold
it
together.
It was a Packer game day, and I think I had been drinking, so I don't remember what she looked like.
Maybe,
sorry.
Maybe Bud Light is the reason that this actually happened. Her birthday was the same as my dad's. And, obviously my dad had passed at that point probably 10-ish.
Something
prior.
Like that, yeah.
What year did you guys meet? Was it
2015?
2015, yeah.
So it had been
11
years.
I had just moved back from Texas, and I was living in Tennessee and Texas, and then I had moved back, I think, like a month before that.
Something like that.
And I was mostly just back on Plenty of Fish for the entertainment purposes.
Highly entertaining,
not really looking for actual, dating. I had just turned it back on more to the entertainment. And then I had seen his profile. I didn't want to talk to him first. So I knew that it showed you who looked at your profile. So I looked at his and then I made, and then shortly after that, he messaged me.
So you really made the first move?
I mean, I guess, but By message me profile? First. Yeah. Right.
Was that the first move?
Leaving the crumbs. So. Yeah. But yeah, so I saw that she had viewed my profile. I gave her two words. I'm intrigued. And apparently that was enough to light the fuse.
All right.
But then we, following down the two words path, the two words of December 14th, which is her birthday, also my dad's birthday. And, the day we got married, we kind of read our little love letters to each other. And that was kind of the focus of mine. I was like, these two words meant so much to us ending up together. My whole childhood, whenever dad was around and like, hey, you need to pay attention, stop screwing around, like this is important. Hand on the back of my neck, a little squeeze. When she said her birthday, I felt that hand again. So
sentimental. Yeah.
Divine. How'd you feel?
Probably drunk, apparently.
Well, it was a Packer game day, like I said, and I'm pretty sure they won, so.
And she had a contingency plan, actually, or a getaway plan.
Yeah, with my friends. We had some, like, hand signals that if he was weird.
Was it hand signals, or was it?
I don't know. It was some kind of something. I'm sure he remembers, because he remembers everything weird and like that.
Did you see me?
Yeah.
It was the wipe off, the indicator, and the flex.
Well, you know what I was thinking of was King of Queens. It's
which one?
It's the one where Carrie, they go to that wedding that the guy that she banged, that Carrie banged. And he goes, "Well, I guess, if you didn't have sex with them, this means no, and this means yes." That's where my mind went, and yours went to baseball.
Yeah,
wipe it off. Okay, yeah. I like that.
Well, hopefully, she didn't have to wipe.
Okay, so did you go on a double date or something?
No, I was just with some other friends in case he was weird. So I had it out.
So you met in a public place?
Yeah.
Kinda I am weird, but apparently I wasn't weird enough for the amount of drinking she'd already done. So.
Oh, yeah. So it was you met her on Packer game day.
Yeah, I think
at a different bar we had met. Because one of my aunts owns a very Packer heavy themed bar. And he is not a Packer fan.
Definitely allergic.
Well, yeah, champions.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun to go there. I'm not a Packer fan either. I'm a Vikings fan, but still like going there is still fun.
It's fun if you're a football fan to watch watch games there. Yeah.
So then you guys met there at a public place. Like, so you just joined. You're like, what's up? I'm here.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, though, if I'm thinking about that and I'm meeting someone, taking away all the nerves, just hanging out at a bar watching football or whatever, that's pretty easy, lackadaisical. When I went and met Steph, I went to Austin, and then I was meeting all our friends. So I was like, I felt like I was kind of at the zoo. Like, that's everyone's watching you. Like, how's this guy going to react? What's he going to do next? Can he function?
Right.
I can, kind of. But that was one thing
well enough,
said.
Anyhow.
She said that I was able to hold conversations with friends or people that I didn't even know. And she's like, I don't have to hold his hand. I like that aspect.
Right.
And so look that's at you cool. now. And holding conversations with mostly people you do know. But you've had some people on here you don't know.
But you know what? It's actually been so fun and so easy to do this. So back to your story then. You guys meet up at a place in Wisconsin. And was it that Sunday that we had got done with the softball tournament?
Yeah.
Okay, so the next day.
It was that night.
That night, yeah. Saturday night.
Saturday game.
Yep. It was a Saturday night, yep.
Oh, so it was preseason.
Yep.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
It was preseason. Yeah, so it was preseason, and it was also my parents' it was my parents' anniversary, too.
Yeah.
It was August 29th.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So, okay, so you guys meet up in public place.
More to the sentimentality.
Yeah.
Now we fast forward. You guys have a daughter. When was she born?
April 25th of 2019.
All right.
So she just turned 6 this year.
So you have a 6-year-old.
Yes.
And now we're going to even fast forward past that because she's with grandma right now, if I understand that right. And you guys just shared amazing news with us, maybe 2 months ago, because we were just at the other house in the summer and you guys FaceTimed us and said, hey, we're pregnant. And we're like, oh, okay, awesome. Like everyone's just having babies all of a sudden right now, this year. And
baby fever is real.
Baby fever. Does everyone just get pregnant, get looked at?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And then just, 2 weeks ago or so, you shared devastating news with us that you had a miscarriage. And you were nice enough to come on in here and share your story because I know there's other friends of mine that have had this. But I don't think everyone wants to open up about it and share the details or the emotions. So when we do this, you can say no comment. If you don't want to answer it, that's perfectly fine. You brought your Kleenexes just in case. But, you know, the thing is, like, I don't even know where to start off with this. My parents had a miscarriage when I was 7, 8 years old. So I was due to have a brother or sister. And my dad just told me this yesterday because I told him you guys were coming in. And he said, remember we had ours too. And I go, well, I definitely remember that, but I don't remember it real well. I don't even know how far they were into the pregnancy. But it was October 4th, the day before my dad's birthday, he said that they found out that they lost the baby. But I don't think they were far enough along, and I'm not even sure in 95, if they even could do the sex beforehand or if they were going to. But anyways, my parents went through it as well. I know there's many others out there that are listening right now that have gone through it. But for you guys, I mean, I don't even know where to start because there's no easy way to really start other than say, how, did you know something was wrong? Is it, that's one question I always wonder. Do you know something's up?
Yeah. So with me specifically, so we were actually camping out at Champions for Labor Day weekend, and I had gone to the bathroom and I noticed some spotting, and it can be common in early pregnancy because I was only like six or seven weeks, I think. But I had nothing with Harper. So I had nothing to kind of compare it to, like, oh, I had some spotting like that with my first and it was fine. So I kind of watched it for a day and it wasn't really anything. And then the next day there was more. So I had called the nurse line and they kind of asked me, you know, how much and all of that stuff and what it looked like. And, so we went through that and then they were not really concerned. Basically just like, you know, let us know if it changes or if you, you know, pass blood clots or anything like that. And I didn't, so it was fine. But then I had, I think that was that after or before the first ultrasound?
That was after the first ultrasound. And we had...
So the first ultrasound we had before, just before Labor Day weekend. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Cause we already had the ultrasound picture. So we had gone in and that was my 8 week, ultrasound. So they do the first one typically around 8 weeks.
That's what we thought.
Right. Yeah. And then, so they, when they did it, they said, well, okay, it looks like you're measuring at like 6 weeks in 1 day. And I said, well, I'm supposed to be 8 weeks. And they were asking me if I was sure of, you know, the first date, because they measure your weeks by the first date of your last period. And so they asked me if I was sure of when that date was. And I said yes, because I had been tracking, because we were actively trying. And so they were like, okay, well, you know, might just be measuring a little small, no big deal. And right away I was like, that feels weird, because I had taken the first test when I was, would have been barely 4 weeks. So if I was measuring 2 weeks behind, that didn't seem right for it to show up on a home test. So right away, I just felt like something wasn't right. But they didn't seem concerned about it which they're very good at not making it seem like anything's happening.
Right. Yep.
So, she just, you know, said, okay, well, so they essentially pushed our due date back from April 7th to the 22nd. Yeah, because it would have been three. Yeah, it would have been 3 days before Harper's birthday.
Wow, that would have been crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So already I was like, oh, great. They're, you know, could possibly be in the hospital for her birthday, whatever. And then so then they wanted to schedule another ultrasound for the next week just to, you know, check and make sure there was growth and all of that stuff. So we went back for that one the next week, and the doctor was in there with the ultrasound tech, and that was weird to me right off the bat. But I thought, well, maybe it's just what they do when this is not measuring up date wise. And so then, and on the first one, we had seen the heartbeat and everything. They couldn't measure it because it was just so small. Mm-hmm. And every time I would breathe, the baby would move. And so they couldn't quite get the heart rate read, but we could see it on the mm-hmm. monitor. And then when we went in for the second one, then, they looked very quickly and she came over, she was standing like across the room looking at the monitor. And then she came over to me and she just put her hand on my leg and she said, "I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat."
Oh.
So, there had been no growth, since the last week and then no heartbeat. So, I think it took me a minute to like realize what she said and what that meant. But yeah, it was, everybody says those six words are the hardest to hear of, "I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat." So it's rough, but it's definitely not talked about that much.
No, and I know that's one thing. It just seems like people actually have, it's more common than you might actually realize. Mm-hmm. And so then for Dave, question then for you is now going on the opposite end because you're not carrying a baby, but you hear, did you tell him the day of that you're like, "Hey, I don't know if there's something wrong"?
I did the next day. Okay. I guess I did that first day, but I just, I didn't really know what it meant, I guess, either.
Sure.
And just because it wasn't anything crazy. So I didn't really, I just kind of said, "Oh, that's weird." And then the next day is when it was more. And that's when I said I told them I had called the nurse line. So yeah.
So what's your first thoughts? Shit.
At which point? Like when she first told me?
Yeah. When she first told you like, "Hey, something might be wrong. Not sure."
I don't know, kind of like, okay, well, she knows more about this than I do, so if she's sure. not freaking out, like, okay, spotting, yeah. You know, like, spotting doesn't sound bad, and like, obviously, it's not ideal, and she said there was nothing like that with Harper the first time, but that was also 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every pregnancy is different, so just because I didn't have it with Harper right. didn't mean I couldn't have it this time, and it'd still be fine.
Yep.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's something to do with, you know, with the first ultrasound, because, you know, she had told me afterward that it's like, you know, it's super uncomfortable and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, well, maybe, you know, whatever, and things, you know, educating me on things that I have no experience with.
Sure.
Like, oh yeah, everything, you know, is really ramping up down there and, you know, moving around and that kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, whatever. She's not freaking out. So, you know, okay, I'm here with you. I know we've got another appointment coming, so fully not expecting to get the news we got.
Sure.
I think I started to freak out a little bit more leading up the few days leading up to the second ultrasound, because I had already started to kind of feel like my symptoms were going away. Like my nausea wasn't as bad anymore that I was noticing. And I think I was trying to just like tell myself that wasn't happening.
Sure.
And that it was just like, oh, well, I'm just getting closer to, because that technically I should have been closer to 9 weeks, mm-hmm. which is nearing towards the end of the first trimester. So I think I was kind of just telling myself like, well, maybe I'm just moving away from the nausea. But it was obviously for a different reason. So.
Sure. Well, all right. And so obviously if the baby's not functioning or not alive, then the symptoms, I assume, go away a little mm-hmm. bit more.
Yeah.
That's what you're figuring out.
Yeah.
So then Dave, when you're at the next appointment, then when mm-hmm. you found out, what was your initial reaction? Like, oh shit, or sadness or anger. I'm not really sure what the guy goes through.
Well, this is what I've wrestled with the most since that day was she handled it great. She held herself together and all that. So, you know, she the kind of the sniffles and stuff until the doctor and the ultrasound technician was gone. But, you know, Danielle's not somebody who cries. Like she, through all the things that she's dealt with in her life, with deaths and relatives and her mom, and, you know, all sorts of stuff. I've not had, you know, going off of your guys, you know, recent misfortune stuff, like dogs dying, have never really seen her like big cry. And she was like sobbing in my arms. Hopefully I'm not crossing lines.
No, that's okay.
So like, you know, obviously like that's, to me, that makes sense. It's like, yep, that checks out, that lines up. What I've struggled with in myself was that I didn't. And, you know, it took me a couple of days. Fortunately, depending on the day and the situation, I'm very self-aware. And I'm an overthinker, which sometimes is very, very bad, but sometimes allows me to kind of like figure this stuff out. And like in the moment, I'm like, why am I not crying? Why am I not like, why is this not crushing me? Why am I not sobbing? Why, you know, whatever. I mean, obviously there's the like, no, you're the husband, you're the man, you need to be strong, you know, all that stuff, the support staff, whatever. But, you know, a couple of days afterward, I'd kind of thought about it a little bit more. And kind of not necessarily gotten past it, but let it run through my mind all day, every day for 48 hours.
Sure.
And, you know, I was able to kind of come to the conclusion like, okay, well, kind of the same thing that happened when, we found out Harper had her cataracts in her eyes. My head immediately goes to protect, fix. What do we do now? How do we move forward? So like, it's like, okay, what do we need to do to make this the best situation for Danielle? How do we make sure she's healthy, safe, okay, moving forward? So that's, you know, where my head went. And I take the good with the bad. It didn't hit me right then, but it's definitely hit me multiple times since then. And it, you know, I know, again, tying back to other things, when my dad died, I know for sure I didn't deal with it right away. I know mm-hmm. for sure I didn't deal with it until years after when other girl relationship things happened.
And I think it's harder though, because it wasn't anything outwardly physical yet in terms of like him being, it wasn't like I had this big belly yet. And, right. You know, it was a little, right. And it was just, obviously it wasn't a ton of changes yet in terms, I had the nausea and the, you know, tired and all of that stuff, but it wasn't, obviously there's people that lose babies much later than we did. And so I'm sure that's part of it, is that it's right. Just not as real to the guy yet for sure. Not being able to really see or experience much of anything yet at that point. So,
yeah. And well, that's part of it too. You're exactly right. It's like, I'm not carrying the baby. And, you know, to her credit, Danielle and, you know, my mom and multiple people have said, well, but it was your baby too.
Right. And that's why, as a side note, because when you asked me to do this, you know, you asked if I wanted to come out by myself or with him, and I asked him what he wanted to do. And he said that it was up to me. But I mean, I think that's like kind of a point that doesn't get seen as much either, is right. That it is still his loss too. Yep. Like it's still his baby that, it was this tiny, but like,
sure,
it was still a baby and it was still his too. So like the guy still goes through it too, just in different ways.
Well, I think you're right about that, because as much as it's not talked about, it's definitely probably even less talked about how the guy feels, because, mm-hmm. there's got to be some sort of emotion. Even though you're not carrying the baby, you still have probably some sort of emotion of, you know, maybe you already had names picked out or things of that nature already mm-hmm. going on. So then for you, did you, I don't know how pregnancy feels, obviously, but could you like feel that you were pregnant other than just like the kind of, other than side effects of
nausea? I mean, I, this time around, and as you go through more than one pregnant, obviously this was only my second one, but everybody says that you start showing earlier and you just, things are different. Obviously every pregnancy is different, like I said, but this time around I felt much more bloated earlier on. So it was like, I felt like I already had a belly, and I was like, I'm glad we told people when we did, because I wouldn't have been able to hide anything. Sure. So yeah, it was already, I mean, and it's crazy how like fast it can all go away too, because I mean, I was very sick with Harper the whole time I was pregnant. And I remember crying to him towards the end, like, I don't even know what it feels like to not feel sick anymore. And it was just like, once I had her, it was gone. Like, I was like, oh, this is just how I am now. I'm just sick all the time. Sure. And I was like worried it wasn't going to go away. But, and so same thing with this, like, it was just kind of like, once the miscarriage started happening, I wasn't sick anymore. And it was just a weird, like, how quickly that all goes away.
Okay. So then you guys go home that day, and what's life like then, now that you're
back
home?
Well, we
had and
decisions to make.
What are some of the decisions?
I mean, so they gave us options, because you can kind of let the pregnancy pass on its own. They step in at some point. I think they said like within 8 weeks, if nothing had happened, then they would step in just to make sure you're not, you know, getting an infection or anything like that. They can give you a pill, that speeds that process along. I think they said within like 4 to 6 hours it would start happening.
Okay.
Or they gave us the option for a DNC, and
what's
a DNC? Putting you under, and there's technically two options, where they go in and remove everything.
Okay.
And I had the choice of if I wanted to do that in the clinic, or be put under to do it. Because I had a C-section with Harper, they did say there was more of a risk to do in the clinic with where, like my uterus would be more weakened from the incision, that there was more of a risk of like poking a hole through that way. But with being put under, they can use like a ultrasound camera or whatever.
Right.
So they know and can see where they're going and make sure they get everything. And, so ultimately we had went home and talked about it. And, we talked to one of our nurse friends, Malia, Patrick's wife, and which Malia, you are the most amazing human ever. She was also in on my C-section with Harper, because she worked at Gunderson at the time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So we,
it's a great story too.
Yeah. So we, so I had been messaging her for advice, and we just kind of talked about, all of the options, and, we ultimately decided on doing the DNC with me being put under, just to make sure everything was good. But that was on, this was all happened on a Thursday. And then by the time I called Friday morning, they couldn't get me in until Monday. And then I had ended up passing everything at home over the weekend. But originally my first concern was telling Harper, because she was, even before we told her we were pregnant, she had been talking about a sibling for
a while,
a long time. So, I was more worried about how she was going to take it. She's very strong. But she's also very emotional too. And like, she can get her feelings hurt easy, and she can, she's a feeler for sure. So I was worried of how she was going to take it. I shouldn't be surprised, because I feel like every time I've been worried about her in any situation, she always is just fine. But she was more worried about me. I was crying, of course, when I told her.
Sure. Yep.
And she looked at me. She's like, "Are you crying?" And then gave me a hug. And so she was more worried about us being okay.
Sure.
Than her, you know, being sad herself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of remember very, very not vivid in my mind by any means, because I was like 7 or 8. My parents came home too, and they were, you know, kind of emotional, I know. And they were telling me how much they loved me. And I was kind of like, well, I know you do. Like, you don't have to tell me that,
yeah.
But are you okay? And I kind of remember that, because I remember exactly where we were in our house, which is now where Josh Harrison lives. We're right in the kitchen when they told me. And I was like, okay, I know you love me. but are you guys okay? And and I'm first second grader, so I don't really know what's going on. So it sounds like Harper kind of had the same reaction to that.
Yeah.
And then how about you, Dave? When you had to, when you went home, what was going through your mind, or when you told Harper, or are you still in that dad mode of, hey, I want everyone to be okay, I want to take care of everyone?
Yeah, I was still. I think I was definitely still in protect. Thinking about her, you know, the choices that she has to make, and you know, unfortunately, it is. I tried to make it clear, you know, kind of the same way you pointed out with, like, okay, do you want to do this on your own? Do you want me to be there? You know, unfortunately, it's your decision. I can give you my input. I can tell you what I would prefer, but ultimately it's up to you. So I was, you know, running through all the scenarios in my head and, you know, thinking that way, thinking more of the kind of the same kind of thought process that Malia kind of laid out was, okay, we're looking at logic and reason, and we need to, you know, just the typical, I guess, typical guy stuff is, don't, emotion doesn't belong here now. You've got a job to do. You got stuff to take care of. Deal with that other stuff later. You know, we need to make sure my girls are okay.
Well, and as I talked to another friend too, that I knew had gone through a couple miscarriages, and she had done it both ways. So she had passed one at home by herself, but had also ended up going back to the ER with like more heavy bleeding, and ended up having to have a DNC like in the clinic, and just because it was more emergency. But then she also had one put under, and she, you know, had kind of said like it was nice to just have it done and not have to deal with the physical part of it on top of the emotional and mental part of it. And that's kind of where I was at of like, you know, okay, yeah, I think that would be good to just be done with it like physically. And then, because I mean, there's a lot of cramping and bleeding obviously, and it's a lot, and it's a lot to deal with on top of emotionally being, you know, upset and trying to deal with and wrap your head around what's happening, you know.
What's a DNC? I don't even know.
I looked it up the other day with mom.
Okay. I don't know how you say it. Like I said, it's basically like they go in and clean everything out that, you know.
So it's D and C. So it's dilation and
what? Yeah, the C word is that.
Cooter.
No.
Dilated cooters.
Chris can put it right here.
I lost it now. That cutterage or something like that. Okay. Curettage. That's what it is. Curretage.
Okay.
So basically dilation, dilating her, opening, you know, make so you can, they dilate her so they can get in. And the curettage is basically scraping. Whatever was left over,
because
from
they just want to make sure like if there's tissue left and things like that, that can cause infection later if there's, you know,
because I mean, again, speaking factually, like theoretically, it is an infection. It is a parasite. That's not sensitive or nice at all. Obviously, I love my child. I love any future children.
In medical terms, that's what it is.
So if they don't get everything out, it can absolutely turn into some kind of infection. So
sure.
That's the
and that was process. The risk too of, you know, passing everything at home is that you may at some point still end up needing to do that anyways. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of a choice of, do you want to do it in the clinic and feel everything and be awake for it all, or take the emotional part out of it and just be put under and deal with it?
Which is what I wanted her to do too. I have zero desire to see you in any kind of discomfort. So
when you pass it, this might be a graphic question. What are we talking about? Like, is it coming out in your urine?
I mean, you end up, and I think it differs for everybody. I'm assuming, you know, for how far along you are, of how, and probably what your choices are also of what you can, how you can pass it. But I mean, it's like, you know, trigger warning graph or whatever, but like, you know, it's blood clots. It's, I mean, it can be actual, obviously at some point it has to be actual tissue. which I did pass. And I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about that, but I mean, it's also like one of those things where like, I didn't know if when I passed what I did, I didn't know if like, is that what I'm waiting for?
Right.
Like, I have no idea.
Especially with having a C-section with Harper, like you have zero like mind-body connection. Like, oh, this is what this feels like.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I mean, it was, I was walking around the kitchen and I was like, something is happening right now. And it was like very weird. Yeah. And I thank God for Malia again. I was like, if you'll still look at me later, can I send you a picture?
Perfect.
And she was like, of course you can. So thank you again, Malia. But yeah, I was like, I don't know. Is this what I'm waiting for? Like, you know, because again, how do you know you passed everything?
Right.
You know?
Never had one.
Right.
Yeah, you don't
know. And so we did still schedule the DNC for that following Monday. Because they basically said like, even if you feel like you passed everything over the weekend, you can still come in and we can do an ultrasound beforehand just to see if there's anything left. So we did go in and do that. And ultimately they said, you know, there may be some clotting still left, but you likely did pass everything, with the pregnancy. So, we opted not to end up doing the DNC, and it was kind of like the worst was over at that point. Sure. So,
well, all this has got me thirsty for another beverage, Dave.
I was gonna say, we're waiting for a good break in the.
Was a good break right there. Another break for beverage.
For.
You got something red in there?
Upside down drinks.
Let's see. There's a grape. Oh, it's so the good ass beer.
You tell me what we're gonna have.
We can do. Over the barrel. I got it. Over the barrel apple ale. Which I've not tried yet. I hadn't tried that IPA yet either. That's very good. Over the barrel grape, basically like hard soda. I have tried this one. Oh, it's malt beverage.
Grape drink.
Specialty. Right. That's right down your alley too.
Or
the good ass beer.
Good ass beer.
I feel like we need to have good ass beer.
Not bad ass beer, as somebody else had said multiple times. Good ass beer with a big old ass on the can.
Well, I'm one of the good
donkey
ass
variety,
beer.
Not the.
Oh, it's just a simple light beer. Yeah, perfect. This sounds great.
Good ass.
We'll
beer.
End with the grape drink then at the end.
That sounds good. We got a few more. There's plenty in there.
Got a few more. Yeah. Okay. So now that we're past that part, I want to go on to the next part, which is the support system, which is. Obviously, you talked about Malia. She was a big support, but you come home, you're kind of dealing with the emotions. Now, who do we go to family-wise? How's Grandpa Todd doing? How's Grandma Sandy doing when you tell them the news?
Yeah, I mean, my dad's not a super emotional guy, so he was...
No,
I think
he's
his
not.
Words were,
does he like it?
Are you shitting me? When I told him...
You're joking me, right?
Yeah. But... And, you know, and of course, like, and I honestly think my mom had one as well. I don't,
okay.
I feel like I remember her talking about that at some point, but I don't know for sure. But of course that would have been a long time ago because I think it was before me. So, so I don't know how much, you know, my dad would have had to offer anyways, but, but I mean, his mom came over that night. She brought us dinner, it's sad for everybody, obviously.
Sure.
I mean, there's so many people that wait, and I don't even know. I mean, I guess it's like kind of an unwritten rule that you wait until you're through your first trimester to tell people for this reason, because then you're kind of out of the woods of, kind of the most chance for a miscarriage. But, I know, I mean, we had, part of the reason we told people early, was...
Because you were bloating?
Well, that
like, everyone knows already. Everyone already
but
knows.
But we also couldn't wait to tell Harper, and
yeah.
Harper likes to talk, so she wants to be on the podcast someday, so...
When she's a teenager, yeah,
she said. When she was a teenager.
Okay.
So you got some time, but...
Hopefully we're still up and running. Yeah.
That was my first thought, like, God, are you still doing this? And... 7 years, man.
Yeah. But so we knew that she wouldn't keep her mouth shut if we told her.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I'd also had a conversation with Steph at one of your guys' softball games where, because you guys told people early too, right?
I think
you
I'm
were.
I'm not really sure. I don't remember.
I think you guys were only like 5 or 6 weeks or something, right?
Well, it's whenever we found out the pregnancy, we told our family that we had a positive pregnancy test on our 1 year anniversary, which is actually coming up in a couple days. After this releases, it'll be well past it, but. It was the weekend before our – so it would be this coming weekend that we're at here. So this weekend, we told everyone on that Saturday. So, man, we probably went like a month in at most or two.
Yeah, I think you guys were very early too.
Well, she was born in May, and we told everyone in September. So where are we at?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's
– math quick is not good.
November, December, January, February, March, April, May. So 1 month in roughly is all we ever told. Well, I guess we didn't even know if there was an unwritten rule. Steph probably did.
Well, I mean, that's like we had talked about that. And because, you know, it's Steph had said, like, if anything were to have happened, she wouldn't have wanted to, like, not have ever told people. Mm-hmm. And for us, we did wait the 12 weeks with Harper. I don't know. I feel like just your first pregnancy, you're like, oh, we just follow what everybody else does.
Mm-hmm. Now we do what we want.
But like I said, I mean, it was partly because we wanted to tell Harper soon and we knew she wouldn't not tell people. But then, it was also, we had announced it. I mean, we told family and friends before, but we announced it like publicly on Facebook on the 5 year anniversary of my mom passing. And it was just something I kind of wanted to do just to like make the day a little easier for myself, bring something a little more happy to the day, I guess. But also, I mean, Steph and I had talked about it that day in terms of, you know, you guys had told people, you also told everybody you were having a girl, but you didn't tell anybody the name, of course, until you had her.
Yep. Not even the doctors knew until she is, it was actually probably about 5 minutes after she was born.
Yeah. And that was like your one thing to keep. Like with Harper, we didn't find out the gender until we had her. So we had her at like 10 o'clock at night and no, our parents didn't come until like 9 o'clock the next morning. And so we kept the gender to ourselves. And so that was kind of just like one little like, he got to tell me what we had, and then we got to just kind of keep it to ourselves for a little bit until our parents came, and then we, you know, announced what we had. Yeah. But we've kind of always told people if we had a boy that we wanted to name it after his dad. So I was kind of like, if we find out what we were having, told everybody we're having a boy, everybody would know what the name was. We'd have no, like, secret left either.
You'd just be like, when's he born?
And so it was just, we just were excited about it. And so, so we ended up telling people about, I think, 5 weeks. And it was kind of that same, like, after Steph and I's conversation of, like, if something were to happen, I don't want to first tell people that, hey, we were pregnant instead of saying we are.
Yep.
And it was like, now I'm glad we did that because we had a solid 4 or 5 weeks of being happy and making plans and being excited with friends and family before this happened. And then it was also like, you know, because I did have somebody actually that like didn't hear that we were pregnant. And I had said something about like our house set up and she was like, oh, are you guys trying again? And I was like, well, actually we were, and we just lost it.
Wow.
And so it was just like, I was like, that would have sucked to have that conversation like many times.
Right.
And so now I'm glad we got that time to be happy about it and celebrate with people. And also then have the support because I got a ton of messages from people, afterwards, like, you know, and again, some people, you know, had commented on my post about it. Some people private messaged me because it is hard to talk about. And some people that messaged me, even close friends of mine, you know, had said that they had one, and I had no idea. So it's, you know, right, and it was like, oh yeah, I only basically like me, my husband and my parents know, or, you know, and so it was like a lot more common than you realize.
Yeah. And that's a good thing that you're here sharing this, because I think a lot of people are probably had gone through the same thing you went through. How do we navigate after this is probably the biggest thing. Cause obviously the emotions are like, well, it's very sad. Obviously for a guy, you're not connected exactly, but still your baby. But then how do you navigate after? And that's kind of where we're going with this conversation is, well, now what, you know? So if you have, what if you don't have a good support system? Cause I know you guys have good support system with your families. I know that if it were to happen to Steph and I, we would have great support, but not everyone has that
right
awesome support system where you can go to people, talk to them. But yeah, you're right. You know, like we told people early, which would be, if something were to have happened, thank God it didn't. But if it were to have happened, at least people would have been like, oh, you guys actually were having a baby, rather than saying, oh, hey, by the way, everyone, we lost our baby.
Just, right.
And they'd be like, oh, we didn't even know you're trying. And then you got to explain the whole thing right over right and over and over. So you just keep going. Now, moving on from this, you're only like 2 weeks from finding out, right? Well, recording this, it's September 19th, and you guys said it was like Labor Day weekend-ish area. So that's only 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Relationship-wise, are you stronger? I mean, I seem like you probably are. You're here together today. But how does it impact your relationship as a husband and wife at all? Or not really?
I mean,
I feel like for Dave, I can already answer his question. I guarantee he's like, well, yeah, I want to fix everything. So we're going to be fine. And,
right.
And I don't know from the woman's standpoint how that goes.
I mean, I'm sure that varies for everybody too. And, you know, and I'm sure just like the circumstances around it, like, you know, obviously like there was nothing traumatic that happened where, you know, like I know people have lost babies in various ways of, you know, falling or, you know, something happens, whatever. So I'm sure there's, you know, for some people, there's an aspect of blaming one or the other or something like that. But obviously for us, it was just, it just happened and there was no reason. But I mean, like he said, I'm not a big crier outwardly to people. I'm always like the stronger one for other people. So, that was definitely a different moment for us, for me to cry like that to him. I mean, just in general, like, I don't think that, I mean, even I guess
cried
maybe
more in our relationship than she has,
I guess maybe like other than when my mom passed, I mean, but even, you know, then. But even then, and it, that was obviously a different, you know, it was kind of, you knew that was coming to a little bit, but yeah, I think, I mean, it's just, I think for us, it was more me getting him to understand that it was his loss too. Mm-hmm. And because he was more, whatever you want to do, you know, your decision, your, you. But it is our baby and, you know, it is his loss too. So, I mean, it was more, you know, getting him to recognize that and let himself feel whatever he needs to feel too.
Yep.
So
anything you want to add to that? I don't know if there's anything more, because I think I feel like I answered it for you.
Yeah.
Like, hey,
I mean,
we're good. We're going to make this even stronger. We're going to be better than ever now. Cause I feel like that's just kind of what your
right,
your personality, your character is.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's basically exactly what I said, you know, when we were talking about, you know, how I handled it in, like in the moment was like, I mean, not to push it aside and say, oh, it doesn't matter, whatever, moving on, it means nothing. But you know, the logic and the reason and the, like, do what you have to do, you know, the without being gender stereotypical, whatever, the, like, I got a job to do.
You can
I
be
got,
whatever, like, you want to be right now.
Right. Well, that's like, I need to take care of my girls. That's priority number one. As much as obviously we wish this baby could be here, it's not. Harper and Daniel are here. That's where I need to be. So,
and I think that's like also just, you know, probably another thing that when you do already have other kids, it's kind of like life doesn't slow down. She still has gymnastics. She still has swimming lessons. She still has school. Like, so there's also that little bit of like, you don't really have a whole lot of time to just like
just grieve.
Grieve and yep. you know, you kind of have to like find your ways to do it where you can, when you can.
But I feel like you feel like you'd possibly feel guilty because you're not able to slow down your life and mm-hmm. just kind of mm-hmm. grieve and it like, okay, this happened today. Tomorrow Harper has this going on right. and we got to go do that. And I also have to go to work and all that. And it feels like, it feels like I just passed over this.
Right.
Like nothing even happened when mm-hmm. really a lot just happened
right.
emotionally for sure. So yeah, that's a good point you bring up, I think, because I remember, you know, with the dogs too, like Davey pointed that out, you know, when Cooper was old, so like the time was coming. We saw it, just like yeah. you said about your mom. Like you kind of saw it coming in the few months ahead of mm-hmm. time. Was it sad? Yes, but at the moment when I was there at the vet putting him down, wasn't crying. It was leading up to it and after is mm-hmm. when all the things were. But I'm like, this is what's best for him. I hate this. Same with Jake. We got the news that this is what happened. I was crazy emotional. We went to the vet that day. I remember I was in your mode. Mm-hmm. I wasn't in the mode of, oh my gosh, this is so sad. I was in the mode of, I want him as comfortable as possible at this mm-hmm. moment. And then I dealt with it afterwards. So same exact yep. thing like you said. Maybe that's just our guy instinct on that portion. Next question I had for you is, do you think things would have felt more emotional if you're further along in the pregnancy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, especially if it was some, I mean, where, I can't even imagine how people feel, you know, having a baby further along and having to deliver it. And I mean, like, obviously with what we passed and saw, it was not, you know, it doesn't feel like it's a baby, you
sure,
know?
Sure.
You know, it is, but it's not the same in how some people are way further along and have to pass in, or, you know, even have a stillbirth or anything like that. So I don't know how people move on from things like that. But obviously they do, because it happens way more than it's probably talked about. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, I mean, it was, and it like you say, you almost feel guilty for like continuing on, because like every once in a while it'll hit you of like what actually happened. Like there was a baby, we saw the heartbeat, now it's just gone and yeah. we're just off to swimming lessons and, you know, I mean, like nothing happened, right? But yeah, it's, you know, and you just kind of feel like, but it happens every day, and some people have multiple miscarriages, and you know, it's just, that's a lot. And so yeah, I think it would be definitely harder further along sure. for sure.
Well, Dave, before we get into the last part of this, I need my last drink.
Okay.
Which is a grape drink.
You've been making a lot more progress than I have.
You haven't even been talking over here. What you doing?
Well, that's okay. He's here for the support. He's here for the support.
Not just chugging away.
But the grape one sounded fantastic, if I do say so myself. I'm not a big apple whatever.
Apple ale.
Mm-hmm. Like so Brett likes the apple, bush apples.
Apple,
those are
bush
nasty.
Apple and bush peach. Yeah, I don't. I've tried them. Not great. But this, so I've tried, my youngest brother, gave me, oh, there you go. Nice, pretty purple can fitting for, you know, you Packer fan or Viking fan.
Oh yeah. I love that. That's true. They're looking fantastic this year.
Oh, well, don't even talk to me about football right now.
I actually saw a great meme I wanted to send to you. It was like a dog dragging his balls over something, and it said, well, it was like Vikings, Lions, and Packers, and then the thing that the balls are getting drug over was the Bears.
I figured we would be the poop stain behind the dog would be the Bears. That's kind of how we feel right now. But yeah, no, Michael he introduced me to like the Happy Dads. I don't know if you've had any of those.
I have not, but I listened to Nelk Boys, so I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So there's,
are
they have
happy
a grape.
Dad?
Depends on the day.
Very fitting.
Right. So they have a grape flavor as well.
Ooh, it's fantastic.
Not nearly as good as that. That's far, sorry. I mean, I guess we don't have any sponsors, so we don't have anybody to upset
no, there's
or anything
zero
like
sponsors
that.
Besides
so,
myself.
Right. So I knew you would eventually sell out too. That's what I thought the first time I heard that commercial. Sell out. Sell out to yourself. But no, that one is far
it's
better.
It's really good. It's got yeah. a lot of flavor. It like just it tastes actually, like regular grape.
Right. It tastes like a grape soda, a grape pop, just for an adult.
Grape yeah. drank.
Right. Yeah. Purple drank.
Well, as we start to move on to the last part of the podcast, which is now the after. So we talked about your emotions, grief, going through that, then your support system, and then we also talked about your relationship, which sounds like it's stronger than ever. Where do you, in the last 2 weeks, how have things progressed since you've, have things kind of slowed down a little bit, and you're like, okay, we're over the emotional part, and we're going to move forward? Are we working on another mm-hmm. child? Are we still going through this? Because I don't know how someone would... I don't know how someone would, or a couple, would go through it and say, all right, let's try again. Or is that a thing? I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I mean, that was something I actually like went to the Facebook mom group about, because I was kind of like, what do you do now?
Yeah, when is it acceptable, like, or appropriate?
Well, and I think that varies for everybody, of like what they're comfortable with doing. And I'm sure how your body responds and how you are feeling too, both physically and emotionally. But I mean, you know, I kind of had stopped all the bleeding and everything, and I did, you know, take ovulation tests, and I was ovulating. And so we are trying again.
That's why she's
not
drinking.
Is that why you're not drinking?
Yeah. There's no announcement or anything. Oh, but there's no
announcement. Damn, I thought we were going to have our first pregnancy announcement here.
That would be like, you just look at him and there you go.
Yeah. but right. I mean, a lot of people, I think, do wait for another cycle to happen before they start trying.
Well, what did another cycle mean? You're talking about like
basically like having another period.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't know if it meant like another year.
Right. Oh no, no, another fiscal year. Yeah, no, another period. But yeah, I mean, I kind of just like, I felt fine once everything had kind of been done down there, and so I
down
was
there.
Like, what? There's no, I mean, I don't think there's any rule. And you know, if sure. you're not, if you feel fine, I think that's fine. And everybody is going to deal with it differently, I think. And I'm sure it probably depends on, you know, how far along you were and how easy or hard you had it too for the actual passing of everything.
I just kind of wonder why you weren't drinking with us, because you brought it all from back.
I mean, I'm not a huge
Rylander.
Drinker in general, but yeah, I
partially because of Harper.
Because of Harper, I was
I thought
so
it was because he finally yeah. met you, and then that was the end of it. She's like, I was drunk and I met the man of my dreams, and now
I'm stuck.
I'm good.
Well, now. I was drunk and I got stuck with him, yeah. and I don't want to make that mistake again.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
No, I was so sick with Harper that I felt like I was hungover and carsick all day every day for like 41 weeks. So, so I just don't feel like putting myself in that position again. Yeah. And
really makes the job harder for me.
So. like you hate that job so much.
But yeah, I think it just varies. And yeah. I had people message me that and tell me their story of like when they had one. And, you know, some people, they had their rainbow baby right after their miscarriage. Some people had another miscarriage and then, you know, a successful one. But, so it's just, I'm hopeful. And one of my friends that I talked to through this, that I had mentioned talking to earlier, she had two miscarriages back to back, and she ended up having a daughter, and now she's pregnant with a boy. But she had said her motto to herself was just different pregnancy, different outcome. So
sure.
I feel like that's just kind of going to be my mindset moving forward, because it is scary to think about of like,
yeah.
because it was just kind of never with Harper. It's like you know that it's a chance in the back of your mind, but you just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay, now I've gone through that. And now it's like, okay, when it happens again, like, am I going to enjoy it? Or am I just going to be so nervous every time I go to the bathroom, which I'm sure I will be.
Probably just going to be, you know,
yeah.
PTSD as they call it,
right.
I suppose.
Yeah. But I think, you know, like I said, I'm going to take Tiffany's advice and just different pregnancy, different outcome.
You're going to be on high alert. That's for sure. Every time you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing I want to say is that you were just bringing up Facebook Moms Group, and with all the negativity going on with social media, you know, throughout all the times that have happened, but it's awesome that there's social media out there to help on these kinds of things. Like, granted, this podcast will come out and this will help out some people, but then there's the moms group that helps out other ones. Mm-hmm. And I know Steph's part of moms groups too, that you know, I shoot advice off of. So that's really awesome. So then for you, Dave, you ready for to try again then? All's well? You're like, whatever, I'm ready.
I mean, like, me on trying again is like, well, I don't know. I wasn't sick for all of the pregnancy with Harper. I was fine.
Yeah, so I felt fine.
I don't know what she was complaining about. But
yeah, exactly. Well, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, right. So, no, I'm, and that's, I kind of was in the same spot with that. It's like, I, again, mentally, emotionally, you know, whatever aside from me dealing with stuff, I didn't have to deal with this physically at all.
Right.
So none of this is on my timetable. So that's, if you need physically more time, if you need mentally, emotionally more time, if you need me to be here, I'll be here. If you need me to be outside, I'll be outside. Like,
sure,
whatever you need me to, you know, need me to do. And that's, I mean, that's, I guess, is going back to, you know, me dealing with it is one of the benefits of having a decent size yard to mow is like, that's, you know, with my overthinking, that's where sometimes it creeps up on you. It's like, you know, it's, you know, fighting off tears, cutting grass. It's like, oh no, there's dust in the air and there's grass clippings in my face. That's what it is. No, somebody's cutting an onion. Leave me alone. I'm not crying. You're crying.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Yes, exactly.
Right. But no, like,
well, I think that's just like, even me too. I mean, where I'm at now, it's like, you've moved on in the sense of like, life moves on and you got other responsibilities, especially when you have another kid. But like, every once in a while it hits you of like, I should be pregnant right now and we should be preparing more. And, you know, and I'm sure it'll happen as the original due date rolls around and you know, that kind of stuff too. But yeah, it's, I mean, every, you know, you have to move on too. And there's, everybody, you know, that I've talked to is feel what you're feeling when you're feeling it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you try again, you know, if you don't try again, cause it was too traumatic, that's, you know, a plan too. For us, it's not our plan, but, you know, trusting that it just wasn't the right time for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we, like we tell Harper that it's just the baby is now with Gamma and Papa in heaven and her puppy and her great grandpa. And so, yeah, that's the way she views it. And so that's how we view it too. So
as we're starting to wind down here on the podcast, I got two last questions for both of you. We've gone through literally everything you possibly think of. I think we have, if there's something else that we have not that you think should be shared, let us know. But what is a piece of advice that Mom, you would give to those who are that have had a miscarriage, and for dads who have maybe gone through it or maybe possibly going through it at the time, what are some pieces of advice you would give to them then? It's a tough one. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can lead.
I mean, it's fresh, so it's hard to, you know.
Well, I feel like, yeah, so fresh that it's fresh in your mind, so you at least know what works and what doesn't for yourself emotionally.
Right. Yeah, I can lead. And actually, I've had this in my head for a while, and it was in my head from, like, basically as soon as I got out of, you know, job to do mode. And it's, you know, I know for sure my mom or my parents had at least one miscarriage. I don't really remember that so much, but what I do kind of like secondhand remember is, it was sometime around when Michael, so like in the mid 90s.
Okay.
And
same here.
So, but it was actually our pastor at church who had, they had moved, dad actually helped move them from Chicago or from the Chicago area. I'm not sure what suburb, to Winona in, you know, the mid 90s. And I'm not sure exactly what the timeline is, but somewhere after they, you know, we're moved here and you know, our pastor at our church, they had a miscarriage as well. And I don't know that I heard the story from Pastor Rick or from my dad. I probably heard it from my mom after dad had passed. But she, you know, told me the story of, you know, when they had a miscarriage, Rick and Linda, and my dad had went and talked to Rick, having experienced a miscarriage himself. And he's like, okay, so, you know, kind of, you know, I would say I am far more sentimental than, at least outwardly, than my dad was. So trying to imagine him having a soft side can be difficult depending on how much you know him or don't. But, you know, he went and talked to Rick, and, you know, he's asking him, you know, do you want to talk? Do you want to this? Do you want to that? Or do you just want to do the guy thing and close up and not talk about anything? And of course, you know, that kind of, you know, got a little chuckle, kind of broke the ice and allowed them to actually have a, you know, productive conversation. So that would be my one piece of advice is, you know, once you're, if you need to get past the protect mode, the job to do, whatever, there are dad groups on Facebook too. There is that outlet. If you're one of Chris's friends, one of my friends, something happens. I had one of our softball friends reach out to me too, that he had, you know, gone through one, I'm not sure how long ago. I don't know if he told me, but let yourself deal with it. Because I mean, I mentioned, you know, the way I dealt with my dad dying was not healthy by any means.
But you were in like 10th grade.
So yeah, I was 16. You don't really know, you know, how to deal 16, with that. Go back to school and not, you know, I kind of wrestle with this too. And I'm sure my mom probably does too. Cause I was 16. Marcus was 13. Michael was 8. And her thought process was, I can't let them have this and get behind in school. Mm-hmm. Like I can't let them get buried by this. So literally, you know, we went to play baseball in St. Cloud on Saturday morning, played a doubleheader in St. Cloud. It was that day that he had the stroke. He passed that following Thursday. We had the service on that Saturday. I was back to school on Monday. Years passed before I really dealt with it. And I'm still dealing with it. Like that's, that's the one, yeah, one of the few things that will like get me like that is him.
Sure.
And that's, you know, when the rehearsal dinner before, you know, the night before we got married, Danielle gave me cufflinks that had pictures of him in it. And I can't remember exactly. I was like, with you always, especially today, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm not crying right now is a sentiment, or like, good job me. But like, yeah, like, you know, Danielle said it earlier, let yourself be here, be now, feel it now, deal with it now. If you need to deal with it some and put it away for a while and it comes back later, you know, whatever like that. You know, my mom had told me after her, it was either after her sister passed or after her dad passed. It's like, oh, well, yeah, they creep up on me every now and then. Like, that's exactly what my dad does. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's exactly what your mom does and what Jake and Cooper do and Titan and Gizmo and, you know, anybody.
Yep.
So be in the moment, let yourself be where your feet are. If now is the time to feel it and deal with it, do it, get it done, let it pass. Don't feel bad that you have to go to swimming lessons or gymnastics or, you know, whatever. Allow yourself to feel what you're feeling right now. It'll pass. You'll be able to move on. And just, you know, go with whatever's there now. And if, do not be afraid to reach out if you need help, or if you need to talk, if you need to cry, if you need to yell, if you need, you know, whatever. There's people out there.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Danielle, what's your piece of advice you would give as someone that
wants a baby? I think kind of going off of that too is, you know, like we, kind of the whole point of doing this is because it's not talked about that much. And, you know, it is hard to talk about for some people and harder for others. But I think, you know, reaching out to people because it is so common and there's probably more people in your life than you realize have gone through it. But yeah, like you said, feeling everything. And even if you have other kids, like there's some time in your day you can take to process it, because it is, you know, no matter how far along you were, you still lost a child, whether it's, you know, you had a stillborn or, you know, you lost it at 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, it's still a child that you wanted to have here and you lost it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, there's a lot of people that you can reach out to in the mom groups, in, you know, probably in your life that you know of that have gone through it. And, you know, just, and I think obviously we talked about this, we're kind of here now of trying again, and, there's the nerves of it happening again, but everything is different. I mean, obviously we had a very successful, healthy pregnancy the first time around. This time it was different. Next time it's going to be different again. And just, you can be nervous, but, you know, trusting that for whatever reason, my body knew that this time was not the right time. And next time may not be the right time either. Hopefully it is. Hopefully it's a different story that time. But trusting that, you know, whatever the plan is what.
Shut up, lady.
Speaking of successful babies.
Yeah.
So my last question for both of you is, what have you learned about yourself through this process? You've told us advice for other people, but what have you learned about yourself? Are you stronger now than you felt before?
That I still don't like to cry in front of a lot of people.
I still don't like to cry in front of a lot of people.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, you know, I always knew he was obviously, I mean, I didn't pick a loser husband. So, I mean, I knew he was.
Hey, you're finally not a loser. Yeah. Yay.
But yeah, it's, I mean, you know, he was great with my pregnancy with Harper. And this time around, you know, even for the few weeks that we knew we were pregnant, I mean, he was everything around the house he was doing, you know, he was making sure Harper helped me with things that I wasn't having to do too much. And then through this, you know, making sure I was okay, getting me what I needed, wasn't grossed out when things were happening. So that's always a help. You know, I mean, you see so many stories, and especially in these mom groups, when people are complaining about, you know, how their significant other is. And, you know, so it really makes you like, hey, thanks for not sucking.
All those poop jokes Chris and I make aren't so bad now, are they?
Yeah, well, they're not so bad.
Debatable, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if your partner, your spouse isn't supportive, there's other people who are, and you know, it's and I think even people that I talked to that didn't outwardly, you know, tell everybody they had a miscarriage were very supportive to me. So, you know, there might not be people that you know that had one, but when you put it out there that you did, people are they're willing to share, you know, their experience, mm-hmm. and their advice, and, you know, because again, I had options and I didn't know anything of what to expect. So it was nice to have people to talk to that, could tell me like what I should be expecting, or their advice on what they did and how things went for them, and just things to watch for and stuff like that. Sure. So, yeah.
Dave, what'd you learn about yourself through this process? It's pretty fresh. So I think, I think, you know,
it's, where we are in time, whether, you know, the gender stereotypes, whatever, if they're there. I've always been the kid that always wanted to be just like dad, and right or wrong, the fact that I can look back at it now and see and understand that, like, okay, when it was time to take care of your girls, you did your job. That's, you know, something positive that I learned about myself. And I would say, again, touching back on the advice that Steph gave and that we, you know, that we followed, frankly, I feel like maybe it might be part of why miscarriages aren't talked about quite so much, is, like, you know, we did celebrate it right away. we, you know, maybe it was early, maybe it wasn't, whatever. But if we don't tell anybody, then like you say, we're, you know, if something happens, you're kind of suffering in silence.
You're telling people you were pregnant
that's a good way of
saying do you want to, oh yeah, we were trying, but then we lost it. Do you want to have that conversation or do you want to keep going like nothing happened if people don't know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of weird because you kind of sit there and be like, oh, like, you know this in your head. Mm-hmm. You're talking to these people like, hey, we were going to have a kid, but now we're suffering in silence. Yep. I like the other one where people can empathize or sympathize with you, whichever one it is. Mm-hmm. Some obviously can empathize with you going through this, and some can just sympathize by just, you know, being a listening ear.
And so, like you say, we have, you know, touching again back on the social media stuff and all the things that are, you know, happening in the world, there's so much crap going on. So when you have these moments of, you know, pure joy, and, you know, what could be more pure than, hey, we're trying to have a baby. We, you know, got a picture. We've got a positive test. We have the happy while you have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well, is there anything else you want to touch on that I didn't ask you or that comes to mind that needs to be shared?
I think, I mean, just, you know, like I said, it's not talked about enough, and I get why, because it is, especially if you haven't told people already, it's a very, personal thing, obviously, to go through and talk about, but I mean, it happens so often and more often than people talk about. So it's, you know, understanding that you're not alone, when it feels like you are, because you don't know how many people have experienced it. It's good to know that there's people out there that are, you know, willing to share experiences. And so, yeah, it's, knowing you're not alone is the biggest thing, I think. And just, knowing that it's more common and there's nothing, you know, that was like the one thing that when we went to the other room after we were told, is that the doctor said to me, she's like, if you hear nothing else that I say right now, because you're dealing with a lot, I want you to hear me that you did not do anything wrong. Like, this was not your fault. There's nothing you did wrong. She's like, people worry about, you know, oh, the dog jumps out my stomach or, you know, whatever happened, you did nothing wrong. And so it was, it's just something that happens and it's unfortunate, but it's common. So, sure.
Well, that's awesome. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming on in, sharing your story with us, because this is probably the most, probably the most in-depth conversation we've had about something that's not really talked about much. And for you guys coming in, taking a couple hours out of your day to come and share this with us and putting your emotions aside, because you didn't have to use the
Kleenexes. I didn't. Go me.
But coming in and sharing that, because I know there's other people that are out there listening right now that go, gosh, I know someone that went through it, or I went through it myself, and gosh, this is exactly how I was feeling. But there's hope out there afterwards to keep going if you want to have another baby. There's support groups out there that you guys talked about, and that's just awesome to hear about. So thank you also for bringing in the drinks. That's nice. Rylander, awesome. The IPA was my favorite, so just letting you know that.
The IPA was really good. The good-ass beer was really good, too. It was, I mean, it
doesn't. This is too much after a while. Like, I'm only about, like, I'm probably about two-thirds of the way done. I'm like, this is so grapey. I'm done now. But the IPA, I could have had three of those and been fine.
The IPA was good. It was smooth. That I was afraid, especially after the extra flavor of the IPA, that just, like, the good-ass beer that you expect to be just, like, a regular light beer, it didn't taste like just dirty water.
No, it had a little bit more flavor to it.
Right.
Yep.
So, well, and I did have one of the grape ones, you know, a couple days ago. That was good. Eventually the apple, we'll see what happens. I'll, you know, maybe pour a little baby continued shot or something, or maybe I'll just have to save it for, you know, a year from now, because I think it's been about a year since I was last on here with you. So
somewhere
maybe,
around there,
maybe we'll do it again next year, maybe with another edition.
Well, thank you guys one more time.
Let's
have a cheers. Thank you. Mine's for coming empty. On in.
That's okay. I'll pretend. Empty.
And for those who are listening, please like, share, subscribe, 5-star. It does help out the podcast. Share with your friends. Someone might be going through something similar to what the Todds are going through. And it's great to have support groups out there, as they just shared. But please join us next week for another edition of Brews and Cruise. Cheers.